Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Spinning the Reel. I am your host, Evan.
And I might not have those webs that sling out of my hands or that I've invented, but I'm still your friendly neighborhood Cody, guys. What's going on?
I was hoping you'd say spider host.
No, I can't do that. That's a disrespect to Spider-Man himself.
That is true. That is the case. We are talking about, of course, Spider-Man No Way Home.
Wait, really?
Truly one of the movies of 2021. What else are we doing today, Cody? Because we're not entirely clear on that.
I didn't know we were talking about Spider-Man, so I'm just kidding.
I hope you saw it.
I'm going to talk about this movie, not seeing it, guys. That is the real blockbuster effect. We're going to have a game. I did come up with...
You could, actually. Carry on.
So we're going to have a game. It's going to be called the Triple Spidey Trio Game. It is a magnitude of three games that we've played over the years on this podcast, and I'm putting all three of them together.
Hence, we're playing 21 again.
The multi-game. Oh, that's what I should call it. That I might change the name. Who knows what this will be called by the end. But now that we're talking the multiverse and all that crap, maybe it'll be the multi-letterbox game, because all of these are three letterbox games that we've played in the past, all related to Spider-Man. Let's go. And then our last segment. You don't even care. You don't even care. I can't believe this guy. You know what? Because it's the holiday season, I will look past that. I'm going to just say right off the top here, Merry Christmas, Evan. Even though I'm going to see you on Christmas, but tis the season. We're close to Christmas. What day is it?
Today is December 22nd. It's a Wednesday, Cody.
Well, that's
can't you feel news. All that holiday cheer?
Not really. Not when I'm driving home, especially. I'm ready to lay on that horn. People suck around the holidays. People are crazy. Don't be in a rush to get somewhere, guys.
All right, Cody, come on. What's our last segment?
We're going to reflect back on the year. Obviously, our top 10, or for that matter, Evan's top 25 write-up is right around the corner.
Literally, I should have it done by the end of the week, maybe by Friday.
And I might start it by the end of the week. But we're going to reflect a little bit. We're going to talk about just the nature of how we've kind of seen not only the number of films that either of us have seen this year, but reflect on that with documentaries, with foreign films and all that kind of stuff, and how, I don't know, like this year went with terms of reflection on that. So did we meet our quotas? Did we meet our goals? Did we meet our aspirations in what we see? That
well,
is the top
find
10.
Out. But first, let's talk about some web slingers. The Spider-Man.
When you botched that spell where you wanted everyone to forget the Peter Parker Spider-Man, we started getting some visitors. From every universe. Hello, Peter.
All right, Cody. We are talking about Spider-Man No Way Home, which I mildly spoiled just there in the intro. The Spider-Men are back.
Yeah.
What is this movie about? What is this movie at least supposed to be about?
Supposed to be about Tom Holland Spider-Man leaving the MCU universe.
Which just didn't happen.
It didn't. Not really. I mean, it kind of did.
No,
for
anyone
actually
that hasn't figured it out yet, this will be a full spoiler section about Spider-Man.
I mean,
let's put a marker on the episode.
Anyone's seen it, that though, so we want to see it. But yeah, it's supposed to be centered around Tom Holland. Of course, people at the end of the last movie found out that he is Peter Parker. So his identity is blown.
He was Peter Parker. They didn't know he was Spider-Man.
That's true. I got that backwards saying. They all know that he is Spider-Man. And yes, it presents problems. Doctor Strange gets involved. Doctor Strange opens up the multiverse because the spell goes wrong that he is supposed to cast. And essentially, all of the Spider-Mans from the past universes, including villains themselves from these Spider-Man movies and series, all come back into the picture. And we're presented that with
Know, basically, it's horseshit. What did you think about this movie?
Well, that says it all for you. This movie is nostalgia up the butt. All right, let's be honest. This movie was built. This movie was built to please basically every age group from whatever, like, Spider-Man was your Spider-Man. Like, I was in the movie, and of course, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man comes into play, and you know, every step of the way, it's just like there's a cheer, right? Like, oh, he's here, or he says that or whatever. And like, that's my Spider-Man. And it's just like, okay, like, I understand that this movie was going to have the nostalgia factor just because of previews and all that kind of stuff. And I was for it. I was like, okay, nothing's wrong with nostalgia. You know, I'm the Disney boy. I understand nostalgia, a lot of these remakes and stuff that we talk about and whatnot. I'm always cool with that kind of stuff. Nostalgia is never a turnoff. And usually it usually always works for me to the nature of just feeling what I felt when I watched the original and stuff. Here, I don't know. It kind of, I will say it was like too much. It was too over the top for a lot of this stuff for me to like be like, okay, what's this movie? Like, where are we getting to in this movie? Like, what's the end goal here? Like, I don't understand. Like, Tom Holland had like that quirky nature of, I felt like what the Spider-Man should be. He's, you know, a kid in high school, just trying to be a normal high school student and dealing with this all at the same time. Of course, it's part of the MCU. Tony Stark takes him under his wing and all that kind of stuff. In this movie, didn't really feel, because of all the nostalgia, because of throwing all of these characters in, Spider-Man's and non-Spider-Man's alike. I know that they brought what's his name back too, as like Daredevil.
Yep.
And that just freaks everyone out too. And I still had that effect in the theater. You know, I didn't see this on opening night. I did see it Sunday afternoon and stuff, but still packed theater, same response, I'm sure, as any opening night would have. You just, all these characters pop up, obviously William Dafoe, you know, all that kind of stuff, Green Goblin, Octavio, Jamie Foxx's Electro. Anytime one of them popped up, our entire theater, woo, woo. Like, you hear the cheers from the people that like appreciate these villains, yeah, or heroes. And it's just like, it's just too much. There's like, just, you're throwing all of these characters in, and where the story goes, it's just like, you know, you're taking away from what should have just been a Tom Holland Spider-Man finishing the trilogy. If that's what you're going for, right? Like, there's been a lot of talk, speculation that of course he's done and whatever. But
I think he likes being Spider-Man. I mean, I think he said it before that he'll do it as long as they allow him. I think he'll be back, but
we'll see.
We'll see. I think, before digging into some of the things that specifically are troubling about this movie throughout, I think you hit on something that's really important. And let's put it this way. When Endgame came out and all the superheroes came back through are we allowed to spoil the Endgame yet? Don't spoil the Endgame still a thing?
You could spoil the Endgame.
Thank you. I just needed that go ahead. So when all the heroes come back, and then the theaters across America just lose their collective shit as like Black Panther steps back through a portal or whatever, those videos were going around the internet and Marvel was posting them, and everyone's like, cinema, that's the movies, baby. And like, everyone was so excited about it. And it's like, that's great. You're able to get a reaction out of a whole theater of people, and that's cool. But this movie is like that on steroids. It's like, what if we just designed an entire movie that was just trying to get people to, like, I don't know, like, go insane every 20 minutes. And that's what they did, but to no end. Like, the movie is, there's nothing to the movie. It's just like, oh, here's some things happening. Here's Daredevil. Look, it's Daredevil. Oh, look, he caught a brick. And then it's like, oh, look at that. The Green Goblin, that's his laugh. You guys know you love that. And they just do it over and over again. And then inevitably, I was only half joking when I was saying you could probably describe what the movie was about without seeing it, because like every single thing that fans were speculating about happening in this movie happened in this movie. Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire come back and everybody goes crazy, and then they get to like retcon all this stuff from the old movies that people were mad about, that and fix it. And so it becomes less about, you know, like you said, Tom Holland's trilogy and that Peter Parker, the one that I think has been the most successful Spider-Man up until this point, as far as like delivering on a character. It gets totally sidestepped, so that way we can have, you know, Jamie Foxx not look like a complete moron like he did in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, you know, so that like Andrew Garfield can finally save the girl. And so that way Tobey Maguire can finally like save his mentor and friend in whatever the Green Goblin's normal name, Norman Osborn or whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Yep.
Yeah, it just like it totally undercuts some of the successful stuff. And I can get into more detail on that in a minute, but I don't know if you felt the same way or you thought the fan service was like additive for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm still here for like the fan credit and start like appealing to us as the fan base and stuff. Like, there were certain scenes that like, I was like, okay, this is fun to be in the theater for this. I'm cool. Like, to be like, yeah, like, okay. Like, there's a smile on your face kind of thing, right? Like, it's cool to like see these characters come back. But overall, yeah, it really is a discredit to Tom Holland's Spider-Man, because it's like that emotional grip that I got from the first two just standalone Spider-Man movies that he, portrayed, you know, with Homecoming and Far From Home. It, like, none of that like comes out. Like, there's nothing emotional about his character in this movie with who he interacts with in those movies. And now this movie, Zendaya, of course, being his love interest, is MJ in this one. And even his friend Ned and stuff, is just like, all of that just gets like, I'm not emotionally invested in the story elements at all, or even the one-on-one conversations or characters, because all the emotional.
And neither is the movie.
Yeah. And all the emotion, I get it. All the emotional just goes to the nostalgia factor. All the emotional right. just goes to hyping that up. Cause you know, in this movie too, you have, you know, Aunt May die again. Or I guess Aunt May dies in this one.
Yeah, Aunt May is Uncle Ben. That scene sucks so bad.
Well, it was crazy because I was kind of like, I could get sad or whatever. I can get happy or whatever. And it's just like that. I really was surprisingly like just emotionless. And it was just because all this, you know, there was no momentum and then, but there were people crying and I was like, one, this should have you should have seen this coming regardless. Like, you knew something had to happen that hasn't happened yet. And two, even if it happens, it's like there's no emotional, like,
they just had to shoehorn the goddamn great responsibility line. And like, this series has done such a good job at like this iteration of Spider-Man in not giving us all of the tired, trite bullshit that we've seen a million times in other Spider-Man movies, right?
There you go.
Like, that's, they made a point in the first movie to not show how he got his powers. They made a point to be like, everybody fucking knows that. We don't need to do it. Like, we know he can swing around the city. We don't need to do that. But then this movie is just like, you know what if we did all that stuff right now for everybody in here? And it's like, all right, now he's got to get his great responsibility line or whatever. And
it's true. I mean, to speak to that nature, right? Spider-Man, outside of probably Batman and what else, Superman, stuff to that nature, like, he is one of those superheroes that just keeps getting recreated, yeah. Whether it be in TV series, like, everyone knows Spider-Man, you know, bring it back to season 1, episode 1, everyone knows the Joker, everyone knows the Batman series kind of thing. But you know what I mean? But it's, you're right. It's, that's why I really appreciate it and love these movies. And I will agree with you. I think Tom Holland, as much as, you know, Tobey Maguire was the Spider-Man I grew up with, I think Tom Holland does the best job at what I would portray as Spider-Man, right? Spider-Man's supposed to be in school. He's supposed to be this quirky kind of kid. He's supposed to obviously deal with those kind of elements all at the same time. And I think he really encompasses that very well without them reaching to say, okay, let's deal with him. You know, you're right. Getting his web slinging powers and abilities and all that stuff, throwing in all the lines that we've heard 1,000 times or are aware of, and just going its own way and being fresh and being fun and being creative, whether it's a hit or miss for certain people. I know MCU as a whole is a hit or miss for a lot of movies that you see. And for me, a lot of those are those first two, and even the movies he appears in throughout the MCU, I feel like we're always a hit. I like when he comes on screen. I like his role in the MCU universe. And this one, it's just like, man, like, if this really was to be his last movie, as much as it kind of, I guess, comes to a conclusion at the end to just say, okay, thanks, Tom Holland. But it's like, are you really thanking him? Like, what did you do for him in this movie? Like, you didn't give him any like limelight, like everything you built, like, you know, why was he? Yeah. I understood like he was upset that obviously the Green Goblin was the reason in this movie as well, that Aunt May had passed away and stuff. And then it's just like that fun nature kid, that heartfelt kid, that kid that, you know, understood for the most part, just full of vengeance and stuff. And it's like, yeah, right. Tobey Maguire has to like step in to be the guy to be like, no, you can't, you shouldn't do
that.
This
part made me so mad. And so, that's what I'm talking about, is like shunting the stuff about this universe's Spider-Man, this movie's Spider-Man, is that, so I'm going to go a little long here, but essentially,
tangent it up.
The thing that's great about these Spider-Man movies up until now is that because they were sort of adjacent to the MCU, they're included, but they're sort of doing their own thing, is they were actually able to tell a narrative across the three movies, or in theory they should have. It's not like Thor, where it's like, all right, here's Thor's story. Here's some bullshit that tells us about something we're going to need to know about in Thor 2. And then Thor 3 is just about like bringing in these other characters and stuff. Like, this was actually a through line from Homecoming to Far From Home. And then No Way Home had this potential to be something else. So in Homecoming, right, Spider-Man has these powers, but he thinks he's ready for like more responsibility, but he hasn't figured it out yet. Tony Stark kind of teaches him, hey, you need to work your way up. Like, you need to figure your stuff out. Like, right, don't take on more than you can chew. And then Far From Home is about him sort of trying to become that and find another mentor, but realizing that he can only count on himself because Mysterio betrays him. So it's like that father figure type person in each of those movies. And then that sets up perfectly a trilogy capper where he figures out how to be that figure for himself, how to be that example for other people. And it's perfectly parallel, I guess, to like Tony Stark's whole thing at the end of Iron Man, where he reveals to the world who he is and the responsibility of like his name attached to it. And that's where No Way Home could have gone. They could have said, all right, you know what? Everyone knows who I am, and that's okay. I'm going to live up to the mantle or whatever, you know? But instead, they decided not to do that. They decided to bring in these other Spider-Men. And the point that you brought up is exactly right, where he is literally about to kill the Green Goblin. Like, he's about to just basically throw away any character growth that he had. And what's the point of doing that? Nothing for him, nothing for the movie. It's for fucking Tobey Maguire to get to rewrite the thing that happened in one of his movies. And it sucks because Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are going back to their own universes or whatever. And like, we're left with this movie that is just like, has no interest in telling a cohesive story. And you get a lot of stuff in that vein as well. Okay. So we said a lot of bad things about this movie. and I don't have a ton of good things to say, but there's a few. Do you have some things that you liked about this movie?
As much as I hit on the pandering to the audience for the nostalgia factor, like I said, you know, as bad as it was a disservice to Tom Holland Spider-Man, overall, like, I still really did enjoy the movie. Like, I was there, you know, I wasn't wooing in the theater like a lot of people, but I was like, okay, it's cool. Like, you know, as much as, you know, I like seeing a lot of those characters back on screen, it brings back some like, oh, you know, obviously all the Spider-Man movies right now are like trending on Letterboxd, right? Everyone's rewatching every single Spider-Man movie. So I get it. Like, it brings back that memory and now you're like kind of reliving it and stuff. So I can definitely understand that. And a lot of people are going to be won over by just that nature alone. I wasn't won over completely. I do think now that, you know, I've watched a lot of Spider-Man movies for that nature, it really does, like, as much as the sum of the parts and giving conclusions to all the Spider-Mans and all the villains and all that kind of stuff, just really, it's cool. And I still appreciate it. Like, oh, that's how I wish that one would have ended. Or, right. It's all giving us that kind of feel. And it's like, mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. You know, it's still, there's a couple jokes in there that are pretty funny. some of it's forced.
The Daredevil joke was good. Andrew Garfield's funny.
Yeah, actually, Andrew Garfield was very lively. I know there's a lot.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk. Like, oh, give him his third movie for the trilogy to be complete.
Don't do it.
No, don't do it.
This was basically that. It's fine.
Anyway, so my good is just as, it's the 50-50, man. My good is also the bad at the same nature. Like, nostalgia is nostalgia, and you know it works and it doesn't work. So, yeah. But I really did like the cast throughout all these movies. Zendaya is pretty cool. I want to be Zendaya, dude. Zendaya, like, she didn't even have like a major part in this movie, and I thought she'd have like even a bigger role, and she really didn't. She shows up for she shows up for 10 minutes in Dune. And you're just like, dude, you are cashing in this year, Zendaya. Let me tell you.
I know she's getting in all the advertising for sure.
Yeah.
I think the villains in this movie actually worked better than I would have thought, given how many of them there are. Yeah. And part of that has to do with sort of like competing motivations. Some of the villains' motivations aren't super clear as to why they're doing things. Like, I didn't really understand what the sand guy was doing, Sandman.
But, I don't know you, so I don't trust you, so I will kill you.
Yeah, he's like, I want to get back to normal so I can go back to my daughter, but don't you dare try to fix me. Like, it didn't make any sense, but whatever, you know, the villains worked okay. But that's going to happen when you have, you know, Willem Dafoe and Alfred Molina. And even though Jamie Foxx didn't really work in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, he's a great actor and he's good in this too. Like you said, there's some good jokes in the movie. Like, there were some funny parts. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, Spider-Man retrospective here. Not necessarily Spider-Man aside, but I'm not asking like who's the best Spider-Man. Who's the best actor to play Spider-Man of these three? Andrew Garfield, Tom Holland, Tobey Maguire. Who do you think's the best?
I think, again, actor? It comes down to the age factor. You know, Tobey Maguire, I think, was a little bit older. Tom Holland. No, it's not Tom Holland. I'm sorry. Andrew Garfield was like a little bit older. Like, I envision a kid, and because of that nature of what I envisioned that Spider-Man to be from, you know, comics and all that kind of stuff, from what I feel like, I do think Tom Holland encompasses the nature of Spider-Man the best out of these three. Tobey Maguire, again, I grew up with him. Nostalgia right there.
Can we talk about how Tobey Maguire is bad? Like, he's not good at Spider-Man. He's never been good as Spider-Man. And he's not good in this movie.
Well, that's all we had for when we grew up, right? That was
all we knew.
It's all we knew, you know.
His wooden acting,
and that will always stay. But then in this movie especially, though, I would like to. I haven't revisited any of the Spider-Mans, but I would be interested to revisit Andrew Garfield's movies just a little bit, because he had like that quirky, fun nature to him with the jokes he was given and stuff.
He's a good actor, man. He's okay. He's got some good performances this year. I think he's the best part of this movie, up there with Willem Dafoe, maybe. He's obviously Tick, Tick, Boom, great in that. Great in The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Like, he's having a good year. Going to make a lot of money from this, and good for him. Yeah, I think Tom Holland's probably my favorite portrayal of Spider-Man that they've done so far. Unless, I guess, we're counting Andrew Garfield just from this movie. But Tobey Maguire, I go back and watch those movies, man. Like, he is much worse in that role than people seem to remember him being. And him coming back as like the stoic, wise Spider-Man is just weird. Like, I didn't think it worked at all. And the way he reacted to certain scenes, like, just baffling. Like, something tragic happens and he's just kind of awkwardly smiling, like, in the corner. And it's just weird. Like, he's just an awkward, weird guy. And there's a reason he hasn't been in a movie in like 5 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's it. I'll say that I wrote a bunch of words about Spider-Man on the blog.
And no, it's no longer spoiler. We'll take the whole spoiler.
Well, it's still spoilers, but hopefully you've seen the movie by now.
Seen it. Everyone's seen it by now.
Do you have any final thoughts on No Way Home? You think Tom Holland's done? You think he's going to come back? They're going to do another one?
It's tough. It's really tough to say.
We should talk about the ending. The ending sucks. They just erase everything. They're just like, oh yeah, no one's gonna remember any of this shit happened, and we're going back to the beginning. It's like, this is bullshit, dude. Like, convictions.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the middle movie of the trilogy, right? Like, the movie that nothing happens and sets up the stage for like the last movie. I guess I do, again, surprisingly agree with you, because it's like, okay, wait, whatever progress in this movie, again, as fan service based as it was, forget it, didn't even happen. You know, we can just get rid of it and stuff. And I know it's to set the stage moving forward for, you know, Sony and stuff and whatnot, but it really was like, people are like saying, oh, like, that was a great ending, like, that, you know, that's gonna be the end for Tom Holland. Like, I'm just like, dude, no, it's not. I go, it's kind of a shitty way to end things.
Yeah,
like,
I'm pretty sure they set it up so that way he could come back and like win back MJ and
that'd be, you know, way better. Hopefully that does happen, but we'll see. But yeah, I mean, obviously the end credits.
Is Danny Rojas gonna be Venom?
Is
he gonna be the MCU Venom?
Football is live.
All right. Let's round it up.
All right, Letterbox roundup. Nostalgia, good, bad, however you see it. I sit in the middle, and therefore, surprisingly, I actually gave this still as much shit as I talked about. I gave it 3.5 initially, and the more I talked about it here on the podcast, for the first time ever, actually, instead of going up with my star rating,
holy shit,
I'm going down. I'm going to sit at 3 stars for this movie, actually, for reasons of I looked at my other Spider-Man ratings for the Tom Holland movies and I gave those 2.5 and I couldn't do
it's
that.
Not to, as good.
It's yeah. not, this is not as good. So I can't do that. So I'm actually going to sit solid at 3 out of 5 stars for this Spider-Man No Way Home.
Not only is this the worst easily of Tom Holland's Spider-Man trilogy, it is one of the worst MCU movies to date. I gave it 2.5 stars, and wow. I feel like that might be generous.
Wow, look at this guy. Nah, don't be a whole party pooper buzzkill.
I'm glad people are having fun with it, you know? I'm glad people got to, like, fucking bark at the screen. Have fun. I hope you had a great time seeing Tobey Maguire in a fucking sweater. For me, it didn't really work.
I really hope I don't continue this disdain for hating Marvel movie. I didn't hate this movie, of course, but I don't want to share your thoughts and feelings, Evan, as we move forward, because
come over to the dark side. You don't have to like the Eternals.
Well, no one likes the Eternals. It was the most un-Marvel movie of them all. Hence this, you know, this movie.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can, spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
All right, Cody, you have a game that the name of it's changed a couple times just in the intro. What are we calling this thing?
It is the multiverse letterbox game.
Okay.
I'm doing it. That's
cool. Great.
The name is changing. Are you going to write that down and remember it for the footnotes?
I will put something in the notes. I don't know what yet.
God. It's the multiverse Spider-Man letterbox game.
You just changed it again.
I did change it again now that I said it. It is the multiverse letterbox game. That's it. Multiverse letterbox game. Okay. So there's 3 games. Because there was 3 Spider-Mans in that movie, so we have to have 3 letterbox games. So game number 1, and this is just for Spider-Man movies, so essentially there's 9. I'm not counting Venom.
Why did they have to put the lizard in this movie?
Who cares?
I'm just thinking about this now. Go ahead.
What? I'm trying to explain my game.
Let's play the game.
All right, we're ranking from lowest to highest. And you have to take mental notes, because the last game actually depends on the letterbox actual star rating. So the first 2 games are to set the stage for what you think would be the final. So
this is insane.
There's nine Spider-Man movies.
Okay. We're talking about the Tom Holland trilogy, the Tobey Maguire trilogy, the 2 movies from Andrew Garfield, and then
Into the Spider-Verse. I will count Into the Spider-Verse. I did not count Venom for sake of argument, because it's not Spider-Man. But I did count Into the Spider-Verse because Miles was mildly mentioned in one little line in this movie. So you know what? I gave him benefit of the doubt in the game.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. We're going to go from lowest to highest. What is the worst Spider-Man movie of them all, Evan, if you had to pick?
I think that it's probably The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is actually...
second last?
No, it is the worst. You were right. It is the worst movie.
That's what I thought.
What would be next going up the list? So number 9, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
You would be wrong. It is not.
Is it really Spider-Man 3?
It is Spider-Man 3. Yes, sir.
Insane.
Spider-Man 3 is the next.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
You're right. So basically, Andrew Garfield sucked it to the fans.
Yeah, and then it's probably Far From Home.
You know what? You're on a roll.
Yeah, then it's probably Homecoming.
Man, keep going.
Then it's got to be Spider-Man 2?
No.
So it would be No Way Home then?
He already said no. You forgot one.
What do you mean I forgot one?
Well, maybe you didn't.
Oh, Spider-Man. Yeah.
There you go.
I did forget Spider-Man. Duh. Then it would be Spider-Man 2.
There you go.
Then it's No Way Home.
There you go.
And then it's Spider-Verse.
There you go.
Yeah. So No Way Home is ridiculously rated. Is it still 4.3? On Letterboxd, or has it come down a little more?
It is still 4.3.
It's absurd.
Well, there goes my over-under game, because that brings us into game 2. So we're going to skip that one. You hit it right on the money. It's a 4.3. But that doesn't mean I can't quiz you on the other one.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to tell you over-under and obviously give you a number here.
Okay.
But I won't tell you because, again, at the end, the third game is to actually guess what the actual score is. So, again, mental notes so that you can get the last one right. Mm-hmm. So, Spider-Man or The Amazing Spider-Man 2, worst movie of them all, is it over or under 2.5?
Over.
It is over. So, keep that mental note. The next one, Spider-Man 3, is it over or under a 2.7?
Over.
Okay. It is over. The Amazing Spider-Man, is it over or under a 3?
Over.
It is over. You are correct. Spider-Man, Far From Home, is it over or under a 3.3?
Over.
It is over. Spider-Man Homecoming, over or under 3.7?
Under?
It is under. You're good at this game, Evan. Spider-Man, the next one on the list, Tobey Maguire, he'd be so proud. Over under 3.8.
Oh, God. Under.
It is under. Spider-Man 2, over or under 3.9.
I'm going to go over on that one.
Okay. It is not. You finally got one
really?
Wrong. Really? Wow. Is under. Spider-Man No Way Home. Oh my God, you got it right on the money. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, 4.3.
Even.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, over or under 4.5.
Under.
Under is correct. All right, now you have all that in your head. Those are the first two Spidey games in our multiverse letterbox.
Remember that?
I do.
Okay.
Somewhat. You should have. I told you to take notes. You know, anyone playing along would have actually been like, oh, I'm going to take notes because they love my games.
I don't. I, no.
I know, you're probably,
I hope they are at home.
Are the Ducks playing tonight? You probably
The league shut down. Come on. Stick with it.
I didn't know. Rip. So game three is the actual ranking. The letterbox score itself. And then the last one, I have a little bonus just to see if you're that good and on top of things.
I'm that good. I don't know.
So, again, bottom up, Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was under what you had said, which I said was a 2.8. What is its actual rating?
Wait, hold on. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was under 2.8? I thought I said over.
Well, if you did, you were wrong, and I told you wrong, and now I'm telling you now that you were wrong.
So it's under 2.8. Okay.
It is.
2.6.
And it's a 2.7. Loser.
Okay, fine.
It could be equal to. I guess it can't be equal to. It's not over. Spider-Man 3.
That one you said was over 2.8. Let's call it.
We need to go back to the audio.
You did this wrong because I said over for that too.
No, you didn't. Well, now it's under. Game two is brewing. We're just going straight to game three.
So if it's under 2.8, well, or is it under 2.9?
How about under 2.9?
So is it 2.8?
There you go. I'm lining this up for you, bro. All right. The Amazing Spider-Man. It was over 3.
Okay, that one I did get right. 3.1.
Good job, buddy. Spider-Man Far From Home, I believe I said, was 3.4.
And it was over. 3.5.
Man, good job. Homecoming, also, I think I said 3.5. And then you said over, and you were correct.
3.6.
Yeah. Then I said Spider-Man. These are, like, really close.
Yeah, I'm starting to get the sense of what you did here.
Just mental. All right. Spider-Man was above a 3.5 as well. You said over.
3.6.
Yeah, 3.7.
Oh, got him.
Spider-Man 2, I believe I said
3.9?
I did, and you said over, and you
but it was under, so it must be 3.8.
Yep, you got it, buddy. Spider-Man No Way Home, what is it?
4.3. It was a 4.4 for a while.
Let me refresh the page right now just to see if it changed. Ah, bummer. Not enough people logged it in the 5 minutes we've been talking to affect the rating in any which way.
And then the last one is
Spider-Verse, and it was under
4.4, right?
It is. Now, here's the bonus question, what I really want to get to. Do you know, out of the top 250 narrative films, where this sits? Because it's included in the top 250.
Yeah, so it was, the last time I checked, it was at 31, but I don't know if they've updated it since then.
Okay, well, they've updated it because it's higher.
Higher than 31? No Way Home? Or are you talking about...
No, Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, Into the Spider-Verse. Okay, that's No Way Home was at 31. Oh,
okay.
So Into the Spider-Verse, I don't know, 24?
No, higher.
Really?
Higher.
Like 15?
High. Oh, no. Lower.
It's like 20?
It's higher than that.
Okay. You know what? Do I have to get the exact number before we can move on?
19? No, it's 17. 17. Okay. Do you know what movie's ahead of it by one?
No.
You should.
I didn't even know where it was.
It's your favorite fucking movie ever.
Is it Lady Bird? That rocks.
No, it's not Lady Bird. It's your second favorite movie ever, maybe. That we always... That I hated. That I shouldn't have hated. That's also a French film.
Oh, Cleo from 5 to 7?
No, man. Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Oh, that movie fucking rocks. Come on. That movie
fucking sucks.
You even want to see Petite Maman.
Maybe.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care?
All right, Cody, we are closing things out this week, and I guess sort of for the year as far as regular podcasts go. So we wanted to kind of do a little
wrap up. Is there anything regular about this podcast?
We'd like to think so. And that's our listeners. Yeah, you threw me off here, but we're going to talk about some year end stuff, because next week we will be doing our top tens episode. And like Cody said, we'll have write ups for Cody's top 10, possibly Zach's top 10. I should say possibly Cody's top 10.
Now,
my top 25. That stuff will all be out in the next little bit. Next week's episode.
Now, like, if we release stuff in 2022, is it still top 10 of 2021? Like, how far can I...
Cody, you better get to writing.
How far can I stretch this procrastination?
So
we will record next week. But the question is, we might record like New Year's Eve or something.
Try and just get it out there late.
Right. Yeah. Right before
give Cody time to catch up on some movies. Exactly. And that's sort of what we wanted to talk about this week. So last week we talked about how difficult it can be to find some of these different movies. For me, one of the really great sort of treasures of the year in film going was being able to attend Sundance virtually and AFI Fest in person, and seeing a lot of these movies that have populated my list. This has been the most prolific year of film watching for me. I'm going to get over 200 by the end of the year. Wrote, you know, 50 different things this year. But for Cody, for you, it's been a little tougher to find some of these other things. So like, what for this year, what are you glad that you've been able to see? What do you wish you could have seen more of? Whatever you want to start with.
I'm glad to have seen blockbuster movies. And I'll tell you what, blockbuster movies take up most of my movies for this year, surprisingly. And I think that hindered me from, you know, we talked about multiple times, I should say, on this podcast, how even last week, where even how hard it's been to find movies, the more obscure movies, the more foreign films or whatever. A lot of that was accessible last year because a lot of entities, studios and stuff had to adapt a lot of independent, whatever. And it was available right from home. This year, not so much, right? Like you said, if you're not going to the festivals, it doesn't seem, because of the blockbusters coming out, because movies that were supposed to come out last year coming out this year, it seemed like a lot of stuff, especially even right now in December and stuff, especially like there are so many movies popping out that are taking up theater spaces, that are pushing these behind. And even for me, it's just like, I'm going to go see the blockbuster. I'm going to go with my friends. I'm going to go hang out. And at the end of the day, those are the movies I definitely saw more of, you know, Dune, The Last Duel right now are surprisingly, you know, they're up there on my list that maybe in other years, like, you know, last year I was able to see a lot of movies. Tales of Terror of the year.
How many movies did you see last year?
That's a good question. On my list
versus this year,
I am at more this year, surprisingly.
Okay, but there you go.
I'm at six more films.
How many of those movies are Love Hard?
About 15.
The wish dragon.
15. That's another thing. You know, it's kind of funny. It's like I found myself on a Friday night because, you know, I work and I get tired and stuff. And it's just like, man, fuck it. I'm just whatever like the movie of the weekend was for Netflix. Like I just found myself watching it. And it was so surprising because you think like last year that would have been more the thing, right? I would have seen more of that last year than this year. And it seems like, again, I find myself watching more of those Netflix films, more of, you know, just blockbuster films in general now that came out, and really discouraged. Not that I've seen, I mean, again, it's something that I still really am lacking and am bad at, is seeing a lot of foreign films, is seeing a lot of documentaries for that nature, unless it's easily accessible, like I said, on Netflix or whatever. And even then it's like, they're not plastered on my front page. So it's like, you know, I'm not following the right, you know, the social media or whatever to see that stuff.
Cody
come
gets
out.
Home on a Friday night, sits down on the couch and thinks yep. to himself, I want to watch a movie. A little angel in my figure appears, says, watch this beautiful indie documentary. You'll love it.
Exactly.
On his other shoulder, Ted Sarando, CEO of Netflix, appears with a pitchfork and says, watch Single All the Way.
Woo!
And every time Cody listens.
Personal attack. God. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the where my films have been tailored to this year. My top 10 will be, I think, honestly, if you whatever my top 10 gets released, like give it another 3 or 4 months when a lot of these movies do become widely accessible, whether it's through streaming platforms or actually get released widely in theaters, maybe right up to before the Oscars. Like I get it. Those have the potential to make my top 10. Unfortunately, I will not have seen that.
I'm not giving you an extension, Cody.
I don't want your extension. My top 10 is going to include movies that you're going to hate potentially. And that's going to be awesome. You're going to be like, I can't believe this made your top 10. I'll be like that sums up the year right there. You know, there's movies that are going to be in there that surprisingly, you know, wouldn't I feel normally make that, especially now with how I like portray movies. There's been a few good ones still, don't get me wrong. You know, I think my top 10 still filled with some pretty good movies. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's so many movies that could easily weed themselves in from you and I talking off air, movies that you think I'll definitely take a liking to and stuff that I'm not going to get around to. And that's just unfortunate. And again, the whole documentary and foreign film things is just the lack of them being in theaters.
Cody, what was your favorite foreign film of the year?
Well, we talked about that. Unfortunately, I think the only foreign film I've seen that was released in 2021 was Titan. And that is a nightmare.
Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club.
I can't believe it. Complete opposite ends of the spectrum, and I have to say it's my favorite foreign film of the year because it's the only foreign film I've seen this year.
Wow, it's not even my favorite foreign film of the year.
I thought you just said welcome
really
to
loved
the,
it.
I thought you just said welcome to the club, like it was your favorite. Hopefully there's a couple others that, like I said, I'll get around to seeing that will not
do you
happen.
Have a handful of movies that you want to get to before the top 10 of the year? Like, do you have some that you know you're gonna get to that might make it in there?
Yeah, before the end of this year, Licorice Peach is one that I want to get in there. I know that we talked about it, but Nightmare Alley, I think, is getting a little bit of buzz. So I definitely want to catch that one before it's too late.
I went to see Nightmare Alley on Monday, and the parking lot for the theater across from me was like full. People loitering around inside the
Was it for that movie or
lobby.
Was it for Spider-Man
like, everybody was there, and I was the only soul in that theater for Nightmare Alley. Literally not another person was in that screening of Nightmare Alley.
So it was all for Spider-Man.
Everyone was there for Spider-Man.
You know, it's kind of funny too. the one I go to, the AMC I go to, is right next to a Costco, and the parking lot has never been more packed. Like, I know it's the holiday season and stuff.
And that parking lot's always pretty busy.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I had to park closer. You know where that Jack in the Box is?
Yeah.
I know, like, that parking lot section was like full too, and I'm just like, what the heck is going on? I got
segment know. Three of this podcast is going to be us describing the parking lot of the theater Cody goes to.
You weigh in. So I have seen more films this year.
Yep.
But the variety is not there as much. Like I said, it's a lot of Netflix stuff that's really stupid. Don't get me wrong. That I've been pandered to by the Netflix of it all. And just blockbusters, you know, I think again, blockbusters that were supposed to release last year and then this year, and especially with this, honestly, the sheer amount of movies that have popped out over like the last 3 months,
just all blockbusters and stuff. And it's just like, I'm just going to see those. And I don't catch up on the other stuff with my time. And that's just kind of how I spent my time with movies this year. You know, it's just been more of a, hey, what do you guys want to see? Cause I've seen a lot of movies, blockbusters.
I mean, like, that's a great way to spend the first year where that's a thing that can happen again, you know, where you can go to movies with friends and spend that time. Cause that's, I mean, as much as I fucking loved being the only person in that Nightmare Alley screening, like, it is fun to kind of like go out to the movies with a friend and then afterwards, like, talk about what was good and what was bad, you know?
Yeah. Did you woo louder than everyone combined, you think, in a Spider-Man theater? Like, could you hear them? Or did you out?
I couldn't. Them? I was into Nightmare Alley. That movie was pretty good. So I was kind of in the zone for it. Yeah, I think for me, the thing that I will say about this year is, you know, I did try to go out of my way to find some of the things that I wanted to see. And like, we talked about it last week, some of the things that were a little tougher to get to. So like, one example that is pretty high up on my list, probably won't make the top 10, is a movie called Mass. And it was, I think I've talked about this movie on the podcast before, maybe when we were talking about Sundance. It's a movie I saw at Sundance about the parents of a school shooter and the parents of one of his victims sitting down and meeting. It's like, it's not a documentary or anything, but it's really like gutting. It's a really good movie. It released in theaters for a week, maybe two, and now you can't find it anymore. Like, it's not available for home video yet. It's just like a totally inaccessible movie. And so like, for me, I'm really glad that I got to see these things at festivals, or that, you know, I went out of my way to go see Drive My Car, or like, whatever, you know, like these handful of movies that I went to theaters further away to see. But like, it's kind of going to be a bummer when we do the top 10s next week. And like, half my list is going to be like, here's a movie you can't see yet, but you're going to love it when you can, kind of thing. Which does suck. I know we've talked about it. It's a bummer that the way that the rules for like Oscar qualifications work means that movies get released at these festivals and in like very limited release, and then no one can see them again for months and months and months, which is a bummer. But I'm glad that I was able to see them and I'm able to recommend them. But just, I guess, be ready. That's going to be a big part of my list. Even the one that I'm writing, you know, there's going to be a lot of movies that probably are pretty hard to find, which is kind of a bummer. You know,
so you're telling me people are going to listen to me like they always do, because I'm a man of the people, man. Middle ground. And right. You can see all my movies. Actually, all top 10 of my movies. Actually, you know what? Two of them would be kind of hard to see, actually. They were limited release, in my opinion.
Interesting.
For this year. Maybe three.
I don't agree. All of those movies are movies that people should have been able to see that had some pretty lengthy release times. But yeah, like, literally two of my movies in the top 10 you cannot see right now. One of them probably you won't be able to by the time our episode releases. Anyway, it's a bummer, but we're going to get through it. We're going to have a good time talking about some of our favorite movies of the year and give some people some things to look forward to as well. Anything else about this year, Cody, that I know you said you sort of wished you could have seen maybe more documentaries, that kind of thing. Is that like maybe the biggest thing that you wish you'd gotten to more of?
I think too, not only documentaries, because actually there's a top 10 the one documentary I did see this year is in my top 10. I will say that.
There you go.
so yeah, like I say, you know, I say it and I don't do it. And especially, you know, if you guys have my taste for movies now, it's like, I love something that's real. That's why I like a lot of biopics or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Even if they're not like the best, but it's fun to relate to it. Cause it's like, you know, as much as it might be stretched, like, I really like truth stories. I like being told a story. So yeah, not getting to documentaries is like, oh man, like, that's real life. It's kind of like, you know, maybe you can even compare it to reading a book, right? Like, hey, you should really read this book. I think there's like a lot of good life lessons or something in a book, but, you know, I kind of feel like that could be the same nature for film too. So it's like, hey, you should really watch this documentary. It's relatable in this nature. And you can really, I think, get something like good, like life lessons and stuff and feelings out of documentaries. More so than foreign films. Foreign films is still tough for me, unless it's a really big movie. It's not something I like to go see after. Teton was just, you know, you wanted to see it. I don't know, on the previews look interesting. And I don't know if they ever talked in the previews, because I don't remember it even being a French film. And I think I got bamboozled into that one for sure.
You want to guess how many foreign language films are in my top 10 right now?
In your top 10? Oh, four. I'm going to go four. I want to say it's like maybe half. So I'll go four.
It is going to be a surprise for next week.
Oh my God. This guy,
I'll tell you off the air. I don't want to spoil anything for next week. So yeah. Okay. Other than that, anything else you want to get off your chest before we dive into the world of top tens next week?
Well, there's a lot of stuff I want to get off my chest, but again, that I guess could be saved for off air too.
We can also say that our plan for the top 10 episode is to include, some top movies of the year from,
friends,
listeners and friends. So if you are listening to this and you had a favorite movie of 2021, you can record yourself saying your name, your favorite movie of the year, and why it was your favorite, and send it to, what is our email? It's spinningthereelpod
at Gmail.
R-E-E-L at gmail.com. And if you send that to us, we will cut it into the episode. So
I just, you guys didn't see it, but Evan gave me that look like there's pod in there, right? Like I have to make sure I get that.
I totally forget. Spinningthereel, R-E-E-L pod, P-O-D. At gmail.com. So, yeah, send that in. All right, Cody, that does it this week for Spinning the Reel. Good stuff. Spider-Man, Willem Dafoe.
Parking lots for that, Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Dude. Busy theaters, all that good stuff. Where can people find us?
They can find us on our socials that we try and stay active as possible on, which would be Twitter and Instagram, Spinning the Reel, R-E-E-L. If you want to read all the wonderful things, because... obviously, yep. Audio is not enough for you. Evan has been very diligent this year. He's been very good. He's released something every week.
1,300 words on Spider-Man up right now. By the end of the week, you can expect my top 25 of the year. You can hopefully expect my review of the absolutely abhorrent Adam McKay movie, Don't Look Up. That should be up as well.
But, and if you guys
check out the site.
Yeah, which is spinningthereel.com. And hopefully the procrastinator over here talking to you gets to his one review that he always has to be roped into every single year. And he should be better at doing more than one. But I am obligated to a top 10. You guys deserve it. So I will also have a top 10 review released at the same time.
Pour yourself a whiskey and just get to writing. That's all it is. That's all you got to do.
I will pour myself two whiskeys and then I will start writing with a third whiskey in hand. Yes, I will get to that top 10. But yeah, I think that's what we got moving forward. Cool. That's where you guys can find us.
Obviously, all the socials, Spinning the Reel, R-E-E-L. Leave us a review or a rating on Apple Podcast. It helps us get a little bit more well-seen and some more listeners. So
yeah, and like Evan said, I know he just mentioned it here a couple minutes ago. If you guys want to record audio with just stating your favorite movie of 2021 and shouting out yourself in the process.
Yeah, there might be a feature to be able to do that on Anchor too.
Whatever. However you want to get it to us.
See if I can set that up.
We'll take it and then we'll put it in.
What's that email one more time?
SpinningTheRealPod, P-O-D, at gmail.com.
Excellent. With that, Cody?
As always. Bye.